Welcome to Ad Hoc Christianity, a podcast that discusses the various pressing theological and ethical issues facing the Christian community as non-obnoxiously as possible. I'm your host, Matt Raymer.
I'm Steve Douglas.
And I'm Travis Jacobs.
It's our return episode, Rebooted. We tried to do a show last week on missionaries, but, I was a disaster. It's all my fault. I hope you guys can forgive me. Am I forgiven?
Maybe. Depends on how this one goes.
Well, I have a new microphone. I'm up with the game. I'm recording locally. I think this one might work. It just
excellent.
Might work. And this week,
I think it's going to pull through. I think it's going to do
it
excellent.
Will, it will. It'll all be up to Steve now. You know, Steve is the one dragging us down. So
yeah.
Well, what we decided to talk about this week was missionaries and attitudes toward missionaries. There's really a huge split amongst the attitude toward missionaries, and by missionary, I'm just using the, I mean, a person who decides to go to another place outside of their culture and teach a message. We're in our context, of course, it's a Christian message, and produce converts, build churches, or disseminate ideas. We're going to talk about pros. We're going to talk about cons. We're going to talk about good sides. We're going to talk about bad sides. Let's start by trying to be a little bit positive. What, guys, what are some good things you could say about missionaries?
The world needs missions, no doubt. I mean, there's some parts of the world that have, and there are those that have not. And I think it's probably a good thing that those that have use their resources to give to those who have not, whether that's a message or some aid, some medical kind of thing. There's a lot of things we can give to different people. And so missions, in general, I think, is a very positive thing.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I think one of the things we're going to end up having to come to terms with in this is that and it almost turns the debate around into a different discussion, but how do we define mission? You know, what kind of a mission are we talking about? Because you've got two completely potentially different fields of, you know, a lot of groups will kind of merge them. We're talking about message versus trying to meet physical needs and things like that. So anyway, but you know, as Travis said, there are probably, I don't think anyone would deny on any philosophical or theological stance, atheism through fundamentalism, that there are certain beliefs that we wish more people believed along with us. So in theory, there are some messages that it would be nice to spread as well. And obviously, how will they know unless we tell them?
Right.
And of course, the physical needs side of things is hopefully pretty obvious.
And it's a perfect opportunity to... It's a perfect opportunity to share those kind of things. I mean, there's a message that I feel is worth sharing, that people should hear. Maybe it's not a life and death sort of thing, but I think that the message that I could share with people that could potentially make their life more fulfilling, and that I say potentially because I don't want to say that I have all the answers or anything. But I mean, there's something that I understand in my life that maybe somebody else doesn't understand quite as well, that people could really benefit from it. So even that part of missions, I think, can be a positive thing too.
Yeah. Well, then of course, the physical side that Steve brought up is, well, one of the, I guess, at least center points of Christian thought throughout the millennia is the idea of helping those who are disadvantaged. It's not really an example of missionary work, but if you look back to the Christians that Galen talked about, I guess it was 3rd or 4th century, the ones that cared for the dying that were suffering from plague, while the other Romans were running out into the countryside to avoid catching the plague, these guys stayed behind and they died along with the people they were caring for. So this idea of a benevolent care and concern for your fellow man is inherent at many, I'm not going to say every brand or version of Christianity has this, but it is a prominent feature that you can see throughout our history. Missionaries are just a natural extension of that, where you're going to people outside of your own society. And I see that as a good thing. So we're all agreeing that at least if we're going to look at potentially positive aspects of missionary work, that those are two areas that you could potentially make a positive impact on the world.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid, though, that we're going to probably spend most of our show talking about the downsides. Am I right?
Maybe. We need to talk about those.
Potentially.
Yeah, just maybe.
Pause.
Well, since we're willing to talk about the negative, why don't we just go ahead and talk about the negative on the ideological side? What kind of... Well, people that I've listened to that criticize missionaries are accusing people of indoctrinating them not in Christianity, but in their version of Christianity. In other words, maybe a sectarian type of missionary work. They're not really respecting the host culture at all. In fact, you'll often hear it said as, we're introducing a Christian culture to these people. Now, what do you guys think about that?
I don't know that it can be very effective. I mean, beside the fact that I disagree with it, I don't think that's a good way of communicating with people. And if you can't communicate with them, then it's going to be difficult to make any kind of change. I mean, they're still there, potentially giving some kind of aid, so there's still some positive to it. But as far as their goal being met, as if they're not putting any kind of pressure on the people, maybe some kind of physical pressure or something, I don't think they're going to be able to get anything done with a method like that.
I don't know. I mean, it's... Historically, and obviously there have been plenty of places Christianized through missions. And, I mean, for Pete's sake, Europe was Christianized through missions. And even a lot of it was strong-armed. And yet, you know, it's because they were that we are Christians now, you know, undoubtedly.
Oh, right. What I'm saying is if you have to use some kind of other methods besides the ineffective method of trying to change culture. I mean, you have to get physical or be dominant in some way, take over trade, for example, or, you know, control something other than the people's hearts.
Yeah. You know, what I'm weighing in my mind is, even if we were to avoid sending out people, these sorts of negative things always happen. we're not isolated on the globe. The internet has ended that. You can practically have some sort of contact with any culture that is wired in, maybe with the exception of perhaps deep Africa or South America or North Korea. We're all intertwined. These types of interactions are inevitable.
Yeah.
I guess the question becomes, what are the pluses and minuses of an institutional style of missionary? One that is backed and supported by a mission board and has a budget and goes out and solicits funds. What's the upside and what's the downside?
Well, the positive would be that they have the resources that others might not. And the downside is there's a whole lot more control put upon the person who's being sent out, because they're not going out on their own dime. They have to sort of answer to the big boys upstairs.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I guess it depends on if you're trying to canvas a target area that is not already having some kind of an influx. So, I mean, like, you're in the Philippines, and there are plenty of things for you to do in the Philippines besides evangelize. You've got a job. So it makes sense in your case, I would think, that you don't need a mission board coordinating everything you do, sending you money. But then there are places in, you know, dark Brazil, in the forests or whatever, rainforests, and where it'll obviously behoove the missionary to have someone's, you know, supporting them. Unless you just can find a one-on-one benefactor or something that can send you money, support.
Or you're independently wealthy.
Well, that's true. I guess just send all the wealthy people out to Brazil. yeah, it makes sense to have some kind of a group. And the thing is like I think Travis said, you've got some accountability in any of those kind of groups. If they're going to send you money, they're going to expect results, or they're going to, you know, think maybe he's not serious about, or she's not serious about it. And then that's completely logical. That makes sense. You want to have some kind of return on your investment.
That's a whole other topic there. I mean, what's the right metric for results in that kind of work?
That's true.
You could multiply 1,000 times over people who, and I know in the trade, in the traditional missionary trade, there are people they call groundbreakers, or, you know, people who go in and spend 20 years getting things ready. They don't get a single, nobody apparently responds to their message. And then the next generation comes in, and it's like a landslide where you've got thousands of people who become Christians. So how do you distinguish what's groundbreaking and what's, you know, development? That was always one of my concerns, that I saw, at least in the traditional work that I had done in the past before I became independently supported, and before I actually became a progressive Christian and kind of discarded the whole missionary concept itself. But, you know, what I observed is that the perceptions of the people in the pew and the guys in the mission board was so disconnected from the reality that, you know, they really didn't understand what a good investment was. They really didn't have a good idea of, you know, where are things at? What do we need? And I'm going to say, you know, in last week's show, I kind of came down really hard on the classic missionary. But I want to, having a week to think about it, I'm just going to have to advocate a more holistic approach, that that there's a place for institutional missionaries. I'm not going to be one of those people who say that all missionaries are bad. I just don't think that's fair. I think that even the people who say there shouldn't be missionaries are missionaries in their own way. Right? I mean, that they're missionaries, that there should be no missionaries. This is just the interaction of humans is just unavoidable. We can't try to stop it. It's a fool's errand to think that you're going to stop people trying to propagate their ideas.
Right.
Steve, what do you think?
I agree that everyone's going to try to spread their ideas in different ways. But I guess part of the question that we're wanting to deal with is this particular way called missions, as opposed to, evangelism in your neighborhood, or that kind of thing, and we talk about home missions. That always seemed a little bit, I don't know, I'm not sure that distinction between home missions and foreign missions couldn't be better described as evangelism versus missions. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. I guess what I'm thinking about when I hear missions, I think something like sending people out in a foreign mission to a different culture, especially. But I guess there are other types of mission fields in which you actually might be in your same state or town.
I think that's really, we are thinking that if I'm in Kentucky, which is where I was born and raised partially, that it's homogenous, right? My point is that we're making the assumption that is homogenous, but that is an absolute misconception of what's going on within your own geographical location. I could point, hindsight's, to use a cliche, hindsight's 20/20. I could look back at the diversity of subculture and culture within my own county in Kentucky. We have African American culture. We have Asian American culture. We have certain groups of people that are of different socioeconomic cultures. You got the guys who live in the trailer parks versus the guys who live in the posh, subdivisions. These guys are having to reach out to people outside of their cultural niche frequently. So I think that the line between evangelism and missionary work is an artificial one. I really think that they're the same thing. We're making a difference geographically. That's all.
Well, if you wouldn't, missions is missions with the S at the end and everything, is something you mount an effort towards. I don't know that you would. I mean, I can see, yeah, everything is sort of missions. Anything you're trying to convince somebody of something or whatever, you can call that a mission or missions. But what I was just trying to make a distinction is between at work, at over lunch, trying to talk somebody into becoming a Christian versus mounting an effort to send someone somewhere to teach something. It may be on the other side of town.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. What about, like, in Kentucky? Before I left, there were not any Mexican migrants. But now there are thousands of Mexican migrants in my hometown doing all the jobs that, we used to do as summer jobs, working in the fields, things like that, doing lawn work, all of that sort of thing. And we have churches now that are learning Spanish so that they can, talk to these people and get them to attend their churches. Is that evangelism or is that a mission? You're saying they mounted a deliberate effort.
Well, those are,
how about all those?
Those are
deliberate efforts.
Those are people who are now naturally exposed to all the cultures that are, you know, readily available to them around them. So you're not having to spread that, really, because mm-hmm. I mean they're already within it. I think traditionally, that's the way we understand missions, at least, is to take an idea or a culture to a place where they wouldn't get it if you weren't there. Or at least they wouldn't get it in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the argument could be made either way. It's a way of defining it. I don't know that it's mm-hmm. that important.
No, I guess we're just kind of narrowing down our topic on the fly.
It's probably not, but it sure was fun.
What I'm wondering is if we should view this topic that we're discussing now as more a discussion of the value of proselytization, or are we strictly talking about the failure of foreign mission boards and the pitfalls of imperialism and you know what I'm saying?
Oh man,
those are all good things.
The topic is real. Well, you know, there are all good things to talk about for sure. I mean, we could talk about all of those things, and in fact, I think in our failed attempt at this show, we did talk about all of those things. And I think that we really do need, at some point today, in the next few minutes, to talk about just the concept of the imperial tendency amongst some evangelicals to proselytize the United States or democracy over. They equate the gospel with those things.
Yeah. For a lot of people, Christianity and the government, our form of government, go hand in hand. I think that's natural to think that as well, because for Christians, they think that their religion brings freedom and equality and peace and all these things, which they think that, you know, in the right way, their government provides too, you know, if it's run the right way. And so spreading democracy and all of these different things also help spread the message that you're free with democracy, you're also free with Jesus.
Yeah, that is a point of contact. What I want to point out, though, is just something that just kind of occurs to me. Everyone who believes that their way of life is somewhat ideal, when also fueled by even a modicum of compassion, is going to try to, you know, push it on to those who apparently aren't availing themselves of this wonderful reality. So yeah. I can see this being a problem for a lot of groups.
Yeah. Another thing is that we see from our side of the world, there are all these governments who restrict the freedom of religion, and I think that overblown in some cases, how we seem to think that there's a lot more of that going around, but there is some places in the world where you can't freely express what you want to. And I think that's a big part of it, too. A fear that anything other than democracy and the free society that it can bring limits your ability to worship the way you want to worship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really risk coming across as one of those Americans. But it seems that the people, this is not a complete rule, but there's got to be some kind of a correlation between those people who are the most convinced that their way of life is ideal and wanting to share that. So at least it seems like these American Christians who think they've got the best, their real error is in, if they've got error, is in just maybe misjudging that their way of life isn't better than the other guys. And the reason they don't understand that is because we don't have people from France trying to come over here and tell us that their way of life is better. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're not mounting their missions. No. So, I mean, we believe it enough to fund it and send people out to canvas the world. So ours must be better, right?
Well, hold on a minute. You're not getting your... I think you're missing something here. Look at all the groups that came from India and the Far East to get converts back, starting in the 60s, 50s. Look at the Muslims that are they're proselytizing. You know, we're not the only ones that are doing that. I mean, look at the communists. I mean, yeah. Look at the socialists. I mean, that goes all the way back to Marx's day.
I think we have a problem in thinking that because somebody may not be as wealthy as us, or they might not have all of the same freedoms, that they somehow don't have as good of lives. I think that's incorrect. You know, we can really get along with a whole lot and be happy, and we don't necessarily need to go around changing those kind of things. I mean, if you are born into a culture, you grow up in that culture, you get used to the way things are, and as long as it's not overly oppressive, which is a problem in some areas, then you don't even think about it. I mean, here in the United States, we have things that we don't even think about that other cultures would think is ridiculous. How do you live like that? But we do, and I'm happy. You know, I'm living a happy life. And there are people in other countries, there are people in really poor countries that are living happy lives as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the first things I ran across whenever I came over 16 or 17 years ago was Americans saying, oh, well, there are no Filipinos who want to live in the Philippines. They all want to come to the United States. And what I discovered whenever I came here to live was that, yes, there was a lot of migration. But in a lot of cases, it wasn't because they wanted to live in the United States. It's because they wanted to have money.
Yeah.
You know, or they wanted to, you know, make a living. Now, I don't want to say make money in a greedy sense. Yes, some of them wanted to make money in a greedy sense. But a lot of them just wanted to be able to provide for their families, and that's why they migrated.
Well, see, but you're kind of feeding that, yeah, right there feeds into the idea that America may have something better in the non-theological sense, in just the democracy or capitalism or something that makes it easier for them to make a living over here than it is over there. So is that not worth spreading, Matthew?
Well, wait a minute. Let me just finish the rest of the story. What we're seeing is that in the last 10 years, I am seeing a huge influx of Filipinos who are running away from the U.S. and saying, we hate the place. We made a great living, but we can't stand it. We want to go back to the Philippines.
It's Obama.
And they're giving up their... yeah, they're giving up their... No, it's not Obama. This was during Bush, so we had to blame Bush.
Well,
but you get my point. There's more to the picture than money. And I know that there's a generation here, for better or for worse, that even refuse to learn English because they say we don't need it. of course, that I won't go into that. That's a really weird one. But there are some who say they don't need it, but they really actually do need it, because the Philippines is 75 language groups, and the only way it can remain cohesive is if they use a single language, and English is probably the best choice because it's neutral. But they could use Chinese, I suppose, but that's another issue.
It's a pain in the ass to write. So.
Yeah, it is. It is. But the
I think the necessity to in missions to introduce cultures onto other societies or political cultures is overthought. I don't think it's needed as much as we think it is, and I think people do it without even thinking about it, just because, you know, like we've said, I live so good, I see the way you're living, and I can't imagine myself living like that, and so I want to introduce you to what I have, and it's a noble purpose, and I think it's, I wouldn't go out of my way to try to stop it or say it's some great evil. I just don't think it's necessary. It can be a great evil, but in many cases, it's not.
Sure. I was just thinking about what we brought up last week about the other side of the benefit of a missionary, and that is someone who goes out of their culture in an attempt to understand another culture, and in the process, they begin to see the flaws of their own culture. And it's kind of a reverse missionary, you know, where he's going out to learn about himself or about his own society. And I know in my own personal experience that going outside taught me a lot about myself, taught me a lot about where I came from. And in some ways, it exposed things that I think were deficient in my own culture. And in other ways, it exposed things that I think that were real strengths. In the way that that I was, you know, raised and taught in my own particular subculture, I think that this is another side of the equation that we need to consider.
Yeah, as well, as they say, the more you know,
the more you call,
the more you realize how much you don't know. I mean, that's a humbling experience, which is excellent. For learning about yourself, and that's a great thing to come about these kind of missions, is you learn about yourself in the process. You learn about these other people, and it just helps you understand yourself better, and that's a wonderful thing. You become more open, you become more considerate, and I think it makes you a better person if you're willing to open yourself up to that kind of thing.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, it's just counterintuitive to the whole idea of mission as something that I'm doing for you, to think that, I mean, it's something that no longer seems to deserve the word missionary, if you're going out to have a dialogue.
Well, then.
Well, I'll teach you something, and you teach me something, and quid pro quo, that kind of thing. It doesn't seem like missions anymore.
You know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's not the right word to call it. You know, the group, the tradition I came from didn't like the word missionary. We didn't use it. None of our, well, I won't say none, but a lot of the people that were sent were just called evangelists, and that was it. And they said that the word mission was not a biblical word.
Wow.
I think that might be carrying it a bit too far, but what are we?
But missions is about giving people what they need, and I think people need to be exposed to others and to learn from other people. That's something people need. And if you want to go a roundabout way of saying it, then, you know, it's just in line with what a missionary is. And not everybody's going
to
agree with the mission. Right.
Oh, I agree.
Not everybody's going to agree with, yeah.
No, go ahead.
With what a missionary should do. People are going to do what they feel you know, passionate about.
Yeah, even if you pass a law against it, they're still going to do it.
Right. And that's great. That's great. I love people breaking laws. I honestly do. especially about things like this. Laws are made to be broken. but, I mean, we're all going to have... people are going to learn about us one way or the other. I mean, even if it's bad. If, I mean, we go over there trying to push something on somebody, and they're intelligent enough, they're going to learn something about us, and it's not going to be good. But it is an experience that is at least potentially beneficial for one person, for the person who knows to just stay away from characters like that. but there's always a benefit there somewhere, silver lining.
Well, I know that I, at least in the last 10 years, have abandoned the idea of a perfect solution.
Yes.
I just don't believe in them. I don't find that there's a perfect way to do just about anything, because there's so many things that can make what would seem to be great into something that just isn't that great. Let me just give you an example I was thinking of while you guys were talking. I was thinking about the introduction of the motor vehicle to the Philippines. Well, in some ways, it's a wonderful thing. It allowed for the, you know, commerce. It allowed for transportation. But on the other hand, in this little island nation, with very little controls over emissions, we have a horrible smog problem, which is exacerbated into a humongous asthma problem amongst children here. That some estimate that there's over 95% of children under the age of 5 have asthma. I mean, it's just a gargantuan problem. And then the other side of it is, because of the motor vehicle, people used to walk all the time here.
Mm-hmm.
When there was nothing, there was just bicycles or foot power. We have a gargantuan diabetes and heart disease problem now. We have obesity in a third world country.
So this is kind of what you were talking about, the Typhoid Mary aspect of missions.
Exactly. That really, what you brought it with the greatest of intentions, but it ended up causing an absolute disaster in other ways. Now, nobody wants to throw away their motor vehicles, but how do we thought it was a perfect solution, but it's not a perfect solution. People are just too tempted to take transportation when they could just walk. I live about 30 minutes walk from the center of town. But we can't walk it anymore because of all the smog along the highway. You just get a face full of black soot whenever you walk up the road. If you want to go walking, you have to go to the other side of town where there's the forest and walk in the forest if you want to avoid the smell and the smog. Typhoid Mary.
but you've got to realize that some people think that risk is worth it because of the potential dire outcome of not going. I mean, you've got the prospect amongst many Christians, especially, I guess most Christians even, that if you don't tell them, if you don't go on this mission, they're going to hell. And so, you know, what if people have smog? Wah, wah, wah. There's people going to be burning for eternity if we don't do this. I'd rather have generations breathing smog than anyone dying and going to hell. You know, so you've got that aspect. That's the. It depends on how secure you are in your in your belief that your mission is important.
Oh, and that goes back to what Travis and I were saying earlier. You are not going to stop people from doing this. Malaysia has a law against foreign missionaries. The only people who have permission to have missionaries are the Catholics, and of course, any Muslim has the right to proselytize. And the Catholics don't have a right to proselytize. They have a right to teach people who were already in Catholic families. I've been there, and there are missionaries all over the place, even though it's illegal.
Yeah.
They can't stop it. The Mormons are there. They just don't put their name tag on the outside. They keep it inside their shirt pocket.
We have God Smuggler too, right? So,
well,
Christians...
look at China. I mean, China has this humongous emerging Christian population. That ever since the repression during the Cultural Revolution, where they killed millions of Christians purportedly, we have this resurgence, and they can't even stop it.
Yeah.
You can put a...
And those
people, maybe,
they need it. They want it.
And yeah, they want it. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's great. They want
that's
to
freedom.
Experience.
That's the American way.
They want to experience, and I think that's just wonderful. I don't probably agree with a lot of the things being taught there, a lot of the things they want to be taught and they want to learn about. But that doesn't stop me from thinking that it's great. I love that the idea that somebody can learn about something and accept something because they feel really passionate about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I have nothing. I just don't have anything bad to say about it.
So you like missions?
I like that. I do. I don't like the negative things about them. Mm-hmm. But everybody's going to do what they're going to do. I mean, think of us here. I mean, we each have at least an idea of what a better solution would be.
Yeah.
Yes.
But just think we had some kind of power or some kind of voice to the people, and we sat here and tried to decide what's the best thing to do to fix all these problems about missionaries or about whatever. And
isn't
we made it
doing?
Everybody's mission. No, I don't think so. I don't think we are. We're not trying. We are considering how to fix these problems within our own circle, within our own minds. But the idea that we are trying to fix all these problems to get this message out, to try to change everybody's minds,
right,
is ridiculous. I mean, it's crazy. What do we know? We're three guys. There's been, any three guys throughout history. What do they know? And what kind of sick power do you have to change the entire world like that?
Well,
what we're doing is what I think is good in missions, in that sharing, that sharing of ideas. And I want people to listen to this show, not to accept what we say, but to just learn about why we say it.
Oh, you mean that nasty dialogue stuff that Stephen didn't like.
Yeah, that's why God cut his call twice during the show.
Yeah, you guys sit there and talk while I go save someone from the flames.
There's going to be a lot of that. And the funny thing is I'm so open to people's ideas, and it just infuriates people.
Yeah.
Because, we talked a little about this last week, I think. Just this idea that we're so open to different ideas. And what do we, people would say, what do you really believe? You don't believe anything.
Well, that's a matter of perspective, Travis. I think that we actually have very strong convictions, but those convictions are not the same
definitely.
As theirs. That's the difference. We have a conviction of respecting other people and wanting to hear what they have to say and what they think. And we would hope that they might respect us and want to hear what we have to say, but we don't require it. Mm-hmm. We don't require
it.
It's
because it makes us calmer people. It makes us more loving people. It makes us more accepting people. And that's what I want. And those are very basic ideas. Those are very, I mean, they're huge, but they're very basic, and they can fit into a lot of molds.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm passionate about.
I did want to add one thing before we close out the show, and that is that I understand that there are people, and many of them are my friends, that still do the traditional missionary to save the people from hell. But I think that there's another danger in being so focused and impassioned when you don't realize that perhaps the person you're trying to proselytize is playing you. Now, I see this happen, and I brought this up in the last call. I had an elderly friend of mine, family friend, who's been coming here for 30 or 40 years off and on, and every time he comes, he has 200, 300 baptisms. And I live here all the time. I don't run in those circles anymore, but I did run in those circles. And if you're familiar with the culture and you realize that it's a culture that wants to thank people for keeping them entertained, and if he would go out to the countryside of people who didn't really have maybe the same sophistication as the city. They had more time on their hands. They wanted to burn up some hours, and they would sit and listen to him preach for hours. And the way to say thank you was to do whatever he said. And if he said, I need you to get dunked in this water so that I'll save you from hell, they'll do it. You know, and they don't ever continue in the discipline or the practice of the things he's teaching. Maybe out of that 200, two might continue. And, of course, maybe he's aware of that. Maybe he says, well, I got two. Even though 200 weren't really sincere, I got two. But a lot of them don't seem to recognize that they're not really getting the results that they think they're getting. And that's a danger. It's not going to dissuade them from doing that. And I'm not trying to say they shouldn't do it because this is happening. But I am saying that they should be aware that them spending a little bit of time in dialogue might give them a better picture of what's really going on.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's even better from that perspective of just being able to communicate with them. I understand what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, communication goes a long way with whatever your purpose is in missions. Whether your purpose is the communication itself, whether it's aid or, I mean, you could be giving money to something that is, you know, a scam or something just because you didn't communicate with people. And so definitely it's a positive thing all around.
Well, I can still be reached at matthew.raymer@adhocpodcast.com. But I would invite you to look for my Google Plus and my Facebook. My Google Plus is matthew.raymer@gmail.com. And my Facebook is still over at matthew.raymer. Steve, where can people reach you at?
Yeah, you can find me at, well, my blog is undeception.com. You can also email me at steve@adhocpodcast.com or steve@undeception.com. But if you really want to keep up with where my little trains of thought are going, then I also suggest that you visit my Google Plus page. the little, you can look up Steve Douglas there, or the short link is gplus.to/Steve Douglas. And my Twitter account is Undeception.
Fantastic.
Covering all your bases there, Steve. As for myself, I doubt you'll ever want to email me, but if you do, don't email my ad hoc email because I'll never check it. So just go ahead and email travisjakes@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of me. And soon enough, within the next 2 or 3 years, I will eventually get God's Starship back up. So if in that time you decide you want to go ahead and hop on down to godstarship.com and see if I have indeed put it back up again.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yes, we definitely appreciate your listening. And get in touch with us and tell us what you think. I guess they can go to the website and leave some comments, can't they?
Yeah.
They certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you want to do that, adhocpodcast.com. Leave those comments. Tell us what you think. Try to be civil. If you're not, that's okay, too. We'll just ignore you. Well, maybe not. Maybe we'll have some fun. I don't know. But, yep, this was the show. I hope everybody has a good week.
Bye-bye.